The book of Jeremiah, chapter 2. Beginning at verse 14 again. Is Israel a slave? Is he a servant? Is he a homeborn slave? Why is he spoiled? The young lions roared upon him and yelled, and they made his land waste. His cities are burned without inhabitant. Also the children of Nob and Taphanim and Tahapanim have broken the crown of thy head. Hath thou not procured this unto thyself, in that thou hast forsaken Yahuwah thy Elohim when he led thee by the way? Let me say that one more time. Hath thou not procured this unto thyself, in that thou hast forsaken Yahuwah thy Elohim when he led thee by the way? I want to talk from the subject, you brought it on yourself. Come on, look at somebody and say, you brought this on yourself. Oh, come on, look at somebody in the fellowship and say, brother, sister, whoever, you brought this on yourself. You may be seated. You brought this on yourself. We are so used to, in this new modern era, in this new political correct atmosphere, in this secular humanized society, of always wanting to pass the blame of your situation or circumstance to somebody else. You Hebrews have been doing this ever since Adam. When Yahuwah, some people say Yahweh, came walking, his voice walking in the cool of the day. It's in the Bible. And hollered out, Adam, where are you? And Adam said, hey, Adam, where are you? He said, man, I heard you. He said, what took you so long? Normally you're out here to meet me. We walk together, but I'm calling you and you're taking all day. He said, I heard your voice. And I hid because I was naked. I was afraid. He said, what are you talking about? Who told thee that thou wast naked? Did you eat of the fruit that I told you not to eat of? And do you know what he said? I'm going to get to it. I'm getting to my text. Y'all stay with your preacher. I just started. Don't leave me yet. Do you know that? Do you know what your first ancestor said? He said, that woman you gave me, she bit of the fruit and gave to me, and I did eat. He passed the buck. He said he blamed someone else. He said, my predicament, my problem, my situation is not my fault. Indirectly, well, directly he said it was the woman. But indirectly, he was really blaming Yah. Because he said, not just the woman, but, oh, now y'all talking back to me. But the woman you gave me. In other words, if you would have never gave me her, I would have never been that fruit. Because me and you, Yah, we had it like this. We was tight. But then she came along and messed up everything. And all of that talk about this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. He done forgot all that. How happy he was on his wedding night. But now he's passing the blame. Now, I want you to know that that particular problem, that particular tendency is still a problem among us today, you Hebrews and sons and daughters of Zion. It's my mama's fault. It's your mama's fault what? That I'm on the pole, hooking and crooking. Why? Did your mama make you go on the pole? No, she didn't talk to me like she should have as a mom. Oh, and that put you on the pole, huh? So you didn't have nothing to do. It's my daddy's fault, young man. Why? I didn't know my dad. So not knowing your dad made you smoke crack? Not knowing your dad made you a pimp? Everybody who didn't know, what about all the folk who lost their fathers in war? They didn't know their father. Let me tell you what's going on in today's day, you Hebrews. It's called the blame game. Where I was born, who my mama was, who my daddy was, what my cousin did, what the school did, what the school didn't do, what the people said, what the people didn't say. It's my boss, it's that policeman, it's the judge, it's everybody's fault. Talk back to me, but mine can't be my fault that I'm in the predicament that I'm in. This is part two to a sermon I started last week titled, Is Israel a Servant? Is he a homeborn slave? In other words, the fact that Israel is servant to anybody with all of the privileges that have been given to them as a nation is truly amazing and mind-boggling. There's no logical explanation for a people so talented, so gifted, so extraordinary, I mentioned that last week, that's able to advance in any situation and circumstance. There's no explanation to why they are now known as slaves. I'm going to try to help you real quick. Number one, we weren't made to be slaves. We were made to be kings and queens. Mm-hmm. When we became a nation, we became a nation of priests. And we are from a royal bloodline. We had Yahuwah as our heavenly father. And Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they are our bloodline ancestors. We are their bloodline descendants. And when you think about us, all you think about is a slave. It's tragic. I won't keep you long. Do you know what lie they tell you in school? That's what they say. They say the European picked up slaves from Africa and brought them to America. But do you know that they did not pick up one slave? There was not one slave on the hull of those ships. Guess what? Guess who was in them ships? People. Moms, dads, uncles, cousins. Watch this. There were not only what we call field workers, but there were also skilled workers. Brothers was kicking it. Amen. Making jewelry for their woman. When they were captured and brought over here to use their skills to build and decorate Washington, D.C. All right, come on. To plaster the wall. You do know we built that house, right? I left you kind of on the last sermon saying, what caused a nation so great to fall so low and become so despised? I'm going to tell you. It's hard to believe it, but it's the truth. They brought it on themselves. Wait a minute. You mean they brought destruction on themselves? Oh, yes. They cannot blame their plight on anything or anybody but themselves. I'm 12 minutes in, so I'm not going to keep you long today. We're just going to have to get another part to this one. But isn't this very unusual? God, Elohim, Yahuwah, who we call Abba Yah, Father Yahweh, is their father, is their Elohim. He chose them, us, our ancestors, to be his special chosen people. And yet, he's allowing another nation to enslave his own people. Got to be a reason. Why in the world would a father let his son get beat up by the bully across town? Oh, maybe because the father knows that his son has brought this. Are y'all talking back to me yet? Your ancestors, Zion, were led to a place called the Promised Land. They were unjustly slaved in Egypt. Watch this. By the great hand of the Most High, Yah whooped the Egyptian God. That's why I don't get down with no Egyptology. We don't mix the Hebrew faith, Yahweh, amen, with no Egyptology. No, There's been a difference between us ever since we stepped foot in Egypt, in Africa. Matter of fact, we didn't even live amongst the Egyptians. We had our own land in Egypt called, where were we? Talk back to me. We lived in Goshen. And when all the havoc was being wreaked down on the people in Egypt, the Bible says it was weeping and yelling, but in Goshen, Not even a dog wagged his tongue. Yeah, we had to be in the land of Egypt, but we've always been separated from the Egyptians. Don't let nobody pull that one on you, Zion. No, we got out of there. The Most High delivered us, brought us through the wilderness, took us 40 years because we hard-headed. But we finally made it to the promised land, and he gave us one instruction. He said, follow me. He said, follow me. When you get over there, don't start getting all like, hey, I'm going to get with them Canaanites. No, stay with me. And when they got over there, we've already read it. They got in the land of promise, and they began to commit whoredom under every green tree. There is a tendency among our people to always want to accept the gods of the nations around us. And here is a truth. For some strange reason, we as a people have Stockholm Syndrome. I told you this before. I don't know why it happens to us so fast, but we fall in love with our captor. It's what we do. It's something really strange about a people who could be in Egypt being beat down, whipped, forced to make brick without no straw, to build treasure cities for Pharaoh. At the same time, having our baby boys thrown into the river, cry to the Most High Yah to get us out of that terrible situation. Watch this. He delivers us, and then at the first sign of trouble, we want to go back to Egypt. That's Stockholm Syndrome. Okay, can I make it live? We disobey the Most High Yah. Amen. And then hook up with this girl. We ain't got no business. Y'all said, don't mess with that girl. She ain't no believer in the Most High. Oh, but we love her so. And our lives, we get tore down. You get that? Behind this sister. So finally we ask y'all, if you just set me free, release me from her, I'll be all right. Because I can't have not one more night of pillowcase soaked with tears. I can't have one more night wondering where she is and what time she's coming home. And y'all in the room? And by the hand of the Most High, you get set free. First sign of trouble. Bling, I miss you. What is going on here? Can I flip it around? Some of you sisters been in that same situation. Stockholm Syndrome. Captive. Locked down. In a situation so ungodly. Y'all in this room, don't leave the room. Yeah, if you would just set me free, I'll be free indeed. At the first sign of trouble. In America, we got set free from slavery here. But guess where we go at the first sign of trouble, at any time? Straight back to the government that at one time had us enslaved. I have a brother. He's real fat. I mean, big. Amen. Younger than me. I ain't got but one younger brother. Do you know what he told me when I tried to tell him concerning our heritage and our people? You know that Hebrew talk, he looked me in the face and said,
I'm just as much white as I am black. I said, wait, say that again? He said, no, I am English. I speak English. I am English. I'm just as much European. That's what he told me. He said, I tried to understand his mindset. I said, wait, you do know that they went to the motherland and they captured us like animals. You do know they did this for 400 years. They lynched us. They wouldn't teach us to read. They put our eyes out if we would try to read the Bible. Y'all know that, right? I said, you do know that they killed our babies. They raped our women and blah, blah, blah. He said in essence to me, he said, that don't matter. I like what they have. I want to live where they live. I want to go to church where they go to church. They got all the resources. In other words, they got the money. So you come telling me about this Hebrew and your roots in Africa, and I'm trying to tell you I'm just as much. And I said, leave me alone, because I said, you know what? You got Stockholm. Now, in that case, I think it could have been solved with a mirror. Amen. I can solve this case quick. Here, look in this mirror. Amen. You ain't looked in the mirror in a while. You ain't European, son. Amen. One mirror shot would have. That's not new, according to the manuscript. And believe it or not, I'm about to get out your way. It's not new, according to the Bible. For some reason, our people, freed from Egypt, whenever there was trouble, they would run not to the Most High Yah, who brought them out and provided for them and took care of them and fed them and fought the battles and all that. No, they would run back to the people who enslaved them for comfort, protection, and provision. Wait, what do you mean they ran back to Egypt? Okay, let me break it down a little more. They didn't just go to Egypt. They worshiped their gods. See, when they went to Egypt, you know, you can't just kick it in Egypt as a follower of Yahweh. So when you go to Egypt, you've got to act like you are a defector. Like when you get to Egypt, you got to say, you know what, man? Yeah, hey, wait a minute, look at one of them Hebrews. And because you know they ain't forgot that Yahweh whooped them bad. They can't forget that. So they see you coming, they say, here come one of them Hebrews, and you come in there like, what's up? What's up? And they like, what's up with you? And you're like, dude, I'm down with the Egypt now. I need section 8. I got to get down with Egypt. Amen. I heard y'all giving out free cheese and bread if I just get on this Egypt government plan. They said, but hold on. Ain't your brother that cat that's every week getting up talking all about the Hebrew and Yahweh? Yeah, man, but I ain't with him. He's crazy. Man, come to my house right now. I got a big old Christmas tree in there. I ain't with him. Come to my house right now. You'll see my refrigerator packed with pork. I got swine in the top shelf, middle shelf, deep free. I know we blood brothers. But I eat bacon every day. Matter of fact, I cook my pancakes in bacon grease. I want you to know how deep I am into Egypt. We will run back and deny Yah and his laws and principles in order to assimilate with the Egyptians. And Yah said, you think you're doing it undercover, but I'm watching you. I see it. Just like in America, when we run to the government, all of a sudden we got to deny who we are, Most High. Now watch this. Not only was it a running to Egypt, because it's right here in the text, We would also run to Assyria. In verse 15, he said, the young lions roared upon him and yelled, and they made his land waste and his city burned without inhabitants. This is what Yah said. I don't understand why you keep running to people who have killed you. I don't understand how you keep running to people who have wasted you and are continually wasting you. I don't understand how you run into people who have killed your leadership, even your righteous leaders, like Josiah. You do know it was during the battle between the Egyptians and the Assyrians that the righteous king Josiah, trying to protect the tribe of Benjamin, was killed. And Yah's like, I don't get it. What makes you always want to run to the person who's persecuting you? You want to run. They've wasted your land. But you want to run back to them. They've killed your leaders. But you want to run to them. They raped your women. They've destroyed your children. They took your name. They took your language. But you run right back to them. They took your Elohim. But you run back to them. They whip you. You run back. You run back to them. What's wrong with you? Oh, Stockholm syndrome. You can look back at your cities that were once great cities and now they are laid waste. And the children of Noph and Tahpanhes have broken the crown of thy head. Those are Egyptian cities. One would be Memphis today. And the other one is Cairo. He said, y'all keep running to these Egyptian major cities, trying to find comfort. And all they're doing is killing you and wasting you. If you keep on reading, he says, I don't understand. How you got in a situation that now you're about to go into Babylon as a slave. Jeremiah 2:17 says, oh, here's how. You brought it. Uh-oh. I got to my text. You brought it. Yeah. By leaving me, you opened the door for the enemy to come down from the north and destroy you. Verse 17 says, have thou not procured this unto thyself? Haven't you brought this on yourself? Haven't you acquired this to yourself? The desolation and destruction, both from the Egyptians and the Babylonians, was because of the sin of the Hebrews. Doing what? Falling back into idolatry. Said, y'all made agreement with me that I would be your Elohim and you would be my people. We had a celebration and we have a yearly remembrance of the vows between us made. And yet, you broke the vows by hooking back up with the enemy that put you in the situation to call on me in the first place. He says, did I do this or did you do this to yourself? What the Babylonians and the Egyptians and the Assyrians were able to do to the children of Israel, this is going to sound cold, but it's true, was allowed. Look at somebody and say, y'all allowed it. Woo, wait a minute. You allowed captivity. You allowed beating, you allowed torture, you allowed pain, you allowed hunger, you allowed disdain, you allowed degradation, you allowed oppression, you allowed that. What kind of God would allow that to happen to his people? What do you mean he allowed us to be put in slavery? Well, lest I keep you too long, I told you I'll break it down one more time next week. Any good father, at one time or another, is going to have to allow his child to suffer the consequences of his own sin. I said, every good father. Every good father at one point or another, for correction's sake, is going to have to finally say, Hebrew, you on your own. You know better than me. You smarter than me. You want to make your decisions independent of my decisions. You want to follow a path that I did not lay out for you. Because from where you stand, you think it's better that I must allow you to suffer the consequences for your decision, or you will never ever learn how terrible your natural decisions really are. Yes, amen, amen. Let me come in the room with you one more time. I said they didn't just go to Egypt. They didn't just go to Babylon. When they went into these places, well, in Babylon they were carried, but when they were going to Assyria for help and going to Egypt for help, they had to do it under the guise of, we are also following your gods. See, you can't just walk up in there, amen, with Yahweh, because I told you, Yahweh's already whooped everybody. You have to deny Yah in order to get in with that other crowd. And so, here you are, Yah's child, hooking up with gods, don't you lose me, that he has sworn to destroy. That he has promised by his own word that he was going to kill everybody who did it. And now you take yourself over to the place where he's exercising judgment. And he knows what day he's getting ready to let the hammer down. But you don't know what day. So he keeps telling you, don't go over there. Don't go over there. Can I give you an example of it? You know, I just had a birthday, so I'm getting a little older. Amen. Getting closer to that half century mark. I started illustration and forget where I started the illustration. So I had to use my notes to get me back, amen. But watch this. If you go out in the desert, even here, go out in the back in the desert areas, our military, they actually practice war games. They do it, especially if you go, you know, like over in Nevada, Arizona, other places, but actually in the Mojave Desert, places like that, they practice war games. They practice fighting. Wait a minute, listen. With live ammunition and bombs that will kill you. So there's a sign that says, don't go in there. Military, danger, you know, war games or whatever. And you look in there and be like, it looks so calm though. Ain't nobody even in here. Man, look at that little pond. I'm going to go fishing right in there. I'm going to sneak over the fence. Do they owe it to you? I'm getting it. If you get killed when they start, just because you didn't know when it was going to start, whose fault is it? When you cross the line not knowing that they were getting ready to bomb the place, because you wanted to play. Did you catch the illustration? I know that was crude, but did you catch the illustration? Yah is the one that's going to destroy these places. And you're going to these places denying me. What way other than letting them treat you bad? What other way to get you back to me? So he lets them go. And they kill the leaders, beat them, enslave them, use them. And all the while, they're treating them like that. Their loyalty, watch this, toward the enemy gets greater and greater. We live in America. The Hebrews have been brought over here 400 years. We were here in slavery, but watch this. We're out free now. While we were here, they fed us slop. They fed us the leftovers from dirty swine that we didn't eat swine in the first place. And do you know that almost 200 years after we've been free, we still eat the guts of the pig and line up to buy it from them? I said to buy it. The garbage. Do you know that they gave us their name? Took your name away. And now 200 years later, we still carry the slave name that we had 200 years before while we won't even want to. Matter of fact, we're proud of it now. Stockholm. America, y'all, is going to be destroyed. That's not the good message going out to the world. Nobody wants to hear that. There is no superpower in the history of mankind that lasted forever. It just don't work like that. Man, this sermon's all over the place. Because I'm trying not to get to my kicker till next week. So let me share this. People say, Pastor, the stuff we do is harmless. Do you know Ashtaroth is the fertility goddess, right? Y'all know that by now. I didn't talk to that. Part of worshiping Ashtaroth was the killing of babies. It was killing children. Watch this. When is quote unquote Christmas, which really Tammuz birthday, is in what month of our year, of our Gregorian year, December? When is Easter? How many months apart? No, from Christmas to Easter is how many months apart? Huh? It's normally like between 4 and 5 months apart, right? When does a woman know for sure she's pregnant? When do they have the most abortions? You party and get pregnant, and then you offer the baby at Easter. Or you get pregnant around Easter, and you kill the baby around Christmas. Don't you see something here? Oh, it's harmless. To you, it's harmless. But to the devil, he starts by first making you accept the deity. And once the deity has been accepted, then the actions of the deity will become a part of your behavior. To where you would have never done that if the thought of it had not come to mind by some other pagan. Because Yahweh says, the things that they're doing to Ashtaroth and Dagon, he said to himself, had never come to my mind. Oh, but it's harmless. Yeah, it's harmless until the child begins to behave according to the gods of their captor. I'm just going to stop because I got something to share with y'all next week. That I promise you, don't miss it. Because I have a list that I want to share with you. I'm going to get to that. The problems that we face in our lives today as a nation is our fault. Number one, we were supposed to learn from Babylon to leave all other gods alone. And what did we do after Babylon?
When we got back in the land, number one, we start forsaking the worship. When we rebuild the temple, we have built it. It's in the Bible. The people who remember the temple, when they saw the new one built, they start crying. Everybody wonder, like, how come they're crying? Everybody else is cheering. They say, because what y'all just built ain't close to what Solomon did. And y'all said, I don't understand how y'all let my temple look like this when your houses are all nice and clean and you got paneling on the walls and my house is in ruins. Basically, they didn't care. When they came out of Babylon, all of a sudden, the worship of the Most High went down a notch. Then they started developing a bunch of man-made rules and regulations. This is the true story. It was so bad that eventually Alexander the Great came down from Europe and occupied Jerusalem. The Greeks did. And then the Greek fell to the Romans. And when we open the New Testament, what we call the New Testament, we see Israel. We're talking about the same people. We see the Hebrew Israelites under Roman occupation with a Edomite king on the throne. You would think having a Roman occupation, Caesar claiming to be God, an Edomite claiming to be your king, it would have ran you back to Yahuwah, the Most High. But instead, what you Hebrews do? You rejected Yahushua. He said, I don't understand. I'm here. I love you. Jerusalem, I'm here to gather you. I want to gather you under my wing like a hen does a little chick. Y'all won't let me. I don't understand. What's going on? You know what? As a result, this place is going to be desolate. Matter of fact, there's going to be such desolation that not one stone is going to be left on top of another one that won't be torn down. It's in the Bible. And after saying all that, do you know when a question was posed to them, who do you want? Yahushua, who is HaMashiach, or Barabbas, who's a murderer? You know them Hebrews said, give us Barabbas. And that uncircumcised Gentile said, why? I don't get it. What you want me to do with Yeshua? Then they said, let him be crucified. Crucified? You mean like killed, nailed? Crucified? Crucified? Yeah. What has he done? What evil did he do? That question should have been answered with this. He killed so many people. He did this, he did that, he did this, he did that. They should have had a list. You know what the Hebrews' answer was? If he wasn't a criminal, we wouldn't have brought him. What? That's all y'all can come up with? I tell you what, if that's the best you can do, we'll just give him a whooping. And let him go. They said, no. He claims to be God. I want you to see something. Instead of the Hebrews checking the record, they went with the Romans. They went with the leadership. And they chose a murderer over the Messiah. Can I say it like this? The Roman destruction of Israel? You brought that on yourself. No, he didn't. Oh, yes, you did. Because Pilate said, I'm innocent of the blood of this righteous man. I'm innocent. You don't have no, I'm innocent.
And you know what they said? Y'all better hear me. Talking about Yehoshua. Let his blood, let the vengeance, if you please, of what we're doing. If we're wrong in what we're doing, let that wrong, let his blood, let the punishment for this sin be on us. That's what they said with their mouth. And I wish our ancestors, them Hebrews, would have stopped right there. Let it be on us. Boop. All right. Wipe them out. But then they said, and have y'all read it in them? And on our children. That's part two. I'll show you part three. Because we're going to deal with that and on our children part next week. Because I'll prove it to you that the situation we're in right now as a people, we can no longer blame the slave master. The situation we're in right now, we brought it on ourselves. Oh, I know you don't want to hear it, but I'll show it to you in scripture. How what we're going through as a nation, we brought on ourselves. How? Forsaking Yahweh our Elohim. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this time to share. I pray that at least one word was said that stimulated some kind of thought in the hearts and minds of your people that will cause us not to just blame, but that would cause us to repent for the sins we have committed against thee. And that we would turn from our wicked ways. And that we would follow Yahuwah our Elohim. We realize the time is almost over, but you've been gracious to wake up your people in these last days. Let this message go out and bless somebody is my prayer. In the precious name of Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen. Shalom, shalom.